You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, tonight I want to teach on, actually on Wednesdays we've been teaching on prayer. And just a simple prayer, pray the Word, pray faith, pray in Jesus' name. And then we taught on the Ephesian prayers. Ephesians 1 took 2 weeks preaching on that prayer, and Ephesians 3, 2 weeks preaching on that prayer. And last week we taught on things that you should pray for, things to pray for. And we just took the scriptures, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, Philippians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1. We took those short prayers in those three epistles, and then the two prayers in Ephesians, and just I listed everything in there that Paul said, or that he asked for, requested God for concerning the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Philippi, and the church at Thessalonica. And I just listed them, and we passed that out at the end of the service. And it was just quite a, you got it right there, yeah. Quite a few things there that we should pray for. And one thing for sure, when you take something like that, a list that's right out of the Scripture, you're not having to wonder whether you're being selfish, greedy, or whether it's God really wants to offer it or not. This is what Paul prayed for. And so those things to pray for that we listed are right out of the Bible. Hey, that is a good rule of thumb. Find out what God says and just pray that. Find out what God offers and pray that. And you know, when God says, ask me for this, I think we should ask him for this. Are you with me? Because it's already established. We're not having to talk him into it. He's already offered it, and he's already asked us to ask him. And we see many of those things throughout the Word. So pray the Word. Amen. Find it in the Scripture. You know, well, I wonder what God will do. Well, he'll do whatever he says he will do. Do you know what he says? That's the question. Find out in the Word what he says and pray it. And then pray it in faith and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians 3, Ephesians 3rd chapter. On this Ephesians 3 prayer, well, actually, turn to Ephesians 1. I want to bring one verse out of there, one verse out of Ephesians 3, and then we'll get into some more verses. And tonight I want to center in on believing is the key, center in on faith, or releasing the power of God through faith. And if there's anything you and I need in this day and age and for the rest of eternity, we need a manifestation of the power of God. We need God to show up, amen? You know, if God doesn't show up, stick the fork in, we're done. Because we can't do this thing on our own. Now, the good news is we're not on our own. God said he was with us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. And Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. So we know that he's there inside of us. And he's with us. And we're the temples of the Holy Ghost, which we have of God. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Amen? So I understand God's with me, but I also know God's not always manifested, and I'm not always tapping into that power, as it were. So having said that, what do we do to tap into the power? What do we do to get God to manifest himself in our lives, to flow in our lives? It's really not that complicated. It's pretty simple. We trust him. We just put our faith in him. And the areas that we're struggling with, many times God's not being seen, and we're on our own, as it were, are areas that we're probably not trusting him in. Or we may be in the middle of a battle, we're trusting, but we just need to keep trusting. Amen? I'm not saying it's going to be roses, a bed of roses, and everything's going to be easy. It is simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. It's not complicated. Amen? Sometimes you got to just keep standing. Ephesians 6 chapter says, having done all, stand, therefore. Sometimes you've done everything you're supposed to do, now just keep standing on it, and it'll finally come to pass. But we have to position ourselves for God to move in our life, or for him to manifest himself in our life. And it's extremely important. Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. That's pretty simple, really, when you think about it. But see, the good news is we're not without him. He goes right on down 2 verses later in the 7th verse. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it will be done for you. How powerful is that? So he establishes we need him. He's the vine. We're just the branches off the vine. We've got to stay hooked into the vine. Amen? Because that's where all the nutrients come from, all the life comes from. I mean, you can cut the branch off. The vine's still alive. But the branch will die. But if the branch stays hooked into the vine, then you'll get all that strength and life and nutrients. And that's what he's saying. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. But it wasn't a negative thing. He's saying, I'm with you. So flip that coin, with me you can do all things. That's what Philippians 4:13 tells us. Through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, hallelujah. And that's why he went on to say in that seventh verse, if you abide in me like a branch in a vine, and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Oh, I love that. Isn't that good? So we got to stay connected, and we got to abide in him, and we got to abide in his word, and then we got to ask, and obviously we got to ask believing if we're going to manifest that power that's resident in us, God's power, if we're going to get God on the scene, as it were, get him to show up and get him to show out, because that's what he does. He always shows out when he shows up. In Ephesians, that prayer in Ephesians 1, Paul pins it in that 19th verse. He says, he's praying for them that they know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power. And then he talks about an example of that when he raised Jesus from the dead. That's the kind of power we have that's toward us. But notice here, this key word here, or phrase, to usward who believe. Paul's praying that we'd understand this great power. To usward who believe. Now, that's telling me that that power is not just to anyone. It's just to those that believe. Isn't that right? So I cannot believe something. How about you? I cannot believe I'll get out of a mess I'm in. I cannot believe that God will show up when I pray. I cannot believe that God's promises will come to pass for me. I may believe they're, you know, they'll work for somebody else, but just not me. I'm not like everybody else. You know, I'm not special. And that's really wrong, because we're all special in God. Are you with me? And so how we get that power? What is that power earmarked for or reserved for? You ever go into a building and they have seats reserved and you can't sit there because you're not on the list? You ever been there? Or you practically any store you go into, they got a door in the back you can't get through. It says employees only, you know. There's a tag, or there's a label on there that limits the people that go in that door or the people that sit on that row. Well, God has a tag or a limit on his power. Really? You're saying, wow, he does? Yes, he does. You have to be a believer to get it. It is to usward who believe. I mean, so if you're just hoping something happened, that's not what he's talking about. Or you just say, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll get it. No, you have to believe to get it. You know, I realize, and I know we all do here, I'm preaching to the choir, and we don't even have one. But I realize God wants everybody saved, don't you? He says he wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That's the scripture. The Bible says that. But how many of you know, and I know also according to scripture, that everybody's not saved? Everybody doesn't go to heaven. Well, why not? Not everybody believed. See, that's just a real simple thing. We all know that. I mean, goodness, I think we can equate everything and take everything back to our salvation. I think if you'll start with that saving experience when you call on God to be saved and you begin to live your life just like that, on that same logic and faith, I turn my life over to God, I call on him to save me, and he saved me. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If I take that same ethos, as it were, that path of living, that way of living, and live my whole life that way, when I come into another need in my life, whether it be sickness or disease or just peace, or maybe it's finances, or maybe it's a marital thing, go into the Word and find out what God says. Just like I found out that I couldn't go to heaven without Jesus, and he offered him to me, and I believed on what he said about that, and I got saved, let's find out what he says about my body. Well, let's find out what he says about my finances. Let's say what he find out what he says about my mind, my peace of mind. I'll tell you what, God has a lot to say about those subjects. And what we need to do is give ourselves over to that scripture, just like we did when we got saved. As we have received the Lord Jesus, so let us walk in him. Amen? And just believe. The power of God to save the world is hovering over the earth, waiting for somebody to believe. That's all. That's what happened when I believed. The power of God was released to save me. It was there to save everybody. It's there right now to save everybody. You know, there's a place in Luke that says, The power of the Lord, I believe it was the sixth chapter, the power of the Lord was present to heal. It didn't say everybody got healed, but it said the power of the Lord was present to heal. It was there, but only those that believed received it. Jesus went to one town, his hometown. He went to his own hometown. This is amazing to me. That he went to his own town. It said he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Didn't say because he didn't want to. Didn't say because it wasn't his will. It didn't say he wouldn't. It said he couldn't. See, he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Wow. So here we see Paul's praying this prayer, and specifically in this 19th verse, first chapter of Ephesians, he's praying that we know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe. Oh, hallelujah. Are you out there? All that power is waiting on us to believe. So what do we got to do to get God to show up and show out? Well, we got to believe. Have you believed lately? Have you turned that thing over to the Lord? I know I find myself in the middle of the mess lots of times and realize I hadn't even prayed about it. I pray about all kinds of things. And then this little thing will slip in here, you know, and I'm fretting over it. And I begin to realize, you know, I haven't even turned that over to the Lord. I hadn't even prayed about that thing. Well, duh. Until I pray about it, I'm not going to get any peace, and the Lord's not going to work. He's waiting for me to pray. You know, Jeremiah 1:12 says he watches over his word to perform it. Can you imagine God if you could get a picture of him hovering over the earth, watching, waiting for us to call, waiting for us to speak his word, to stand on a promise? Why? So he can perform it. I watch over my word to perform it. So God will always give you a performance of his word if you'll believe. And I'm preaching about 100 messages tonight. I was thinking about Mary, you know. She said, be it unto me according to your word. When she saw her cousin Elizabeth, John, in the womb of Elizabeth, leaped full of the Holy Ghost, and she began to shout and prophesy, and she said of Mary, blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her by the Lord. I think about that. What kind of things do you think God's performing for you and for me? The things that we believe. There's only going to be I can see all kinds of plays that are scheduled here in the Bible. All kinds of performances. Healing, prosperity, peace, joy, salvation even. You know, you just go right on down the list. It might be another need in your life you're praying for, whatever the case may be. But there won't be a performance of those plays or those acts of God until you believe. See, theater plays are scheduled, you know, and you have to go show up, buy a ticket, and so on and so forth to go see the performance. Well, if you want to see a performance of God, the requirement is faith. That's the cost of the ticket. And it's amazing, the schedule on it, the schedule's there any time. In fact, he's played 24/7. If you want to get in on the show and you want to see a performance, then pull out your faith card and say, Lord, I believe. And you can see this performance over and over and over. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Well, it's to us who believe. He's earmarked it. He's got that sign on that door, employees only. No, he's got a sign on door, believers only. And you can go through that door, and that reserved seat on that front row says believers. When you sit down in that seat, the power of God's in that seat. The power of God's behind that door. It's earmarked for those that believe. And as soon as you believe, you qualify. What's the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Oh, hallelujah. Now, look over. Well, let me read you out of the Amplified there. The Amplified says, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength concerning the resurrection when God raised Jesus from the dead. So it's in and for us who believe. Everybody say, I believe.
I believe.
And then say this, God's power,
is stored away
for me.
When I believe,
I release his power.
Release
that's what he's saying. And Paul's praying that we'd understand that. Now, over in the third chapter where that prayer of the third chapter, Ephesians 3. He ends that prayer, well, he ends it up in the 20th verse. Let me read you the 19th verse. 20th verse. I'll get there in a minute. King James, New King James, you know, it says, "Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Everybody say, "According to the power that works in us." Now think about that. There's got to be something working in us in order for God to work out of us. Now, if we don't have anything working in us, then we got nothing working out of us. You know, Dr. Carl Brancic taught a great message here a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday about a farmer and a seed. You put the seed in the ground, and it begins to do its work. And you sleep and rise and sleep night and day. The farmer doesn't know what's going on, but he knows the seed's working. It's going to work. If you get the word in you, the ground's your heart, the seed's the word. If you get the word in you, it's going to work because it works in you. That's where it works, just like a seed works in the ground. Well, it doesn't work in your hand, doesn't work in a bag. It doesn't work, you know, in the seed bag. The little packet that you get down to feed and seed store has a picture on it. I like that. I like that they put the picture on it. I think that's good because that gives you vision. You know, you look at this is what it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be. You and I need to get a picture of the end result. And we stand on the word. Amen? You know, I like that. And some people do that. Sometimes you're believing for something, you can put a picture on a refrigerator, you know. Maybe what you want to look like if you're believing for health. Or maybe it's just something you're believing for your family or the church or whatever. Get a picture. That's why a lot of times they build buildings. They have a big chart. They have a building shown on there and tell you exactly what it's going to look like so you can get a picture of it, a vision of it. That's not a worldly thing. That's biblical. That's all through the Bible. So you get that seed package, but that's just what it could be. That's what it can be. That's the kind of power that's in that seed bag. But until you put that seed in your heart, it won't be. Are you with me? Because it doesn't work in the bag. It works in the ground. Now the Bible tells us what can be, what should be. But the Bible doesn't work in the Bible. It doesn't work on the pages. It doesn't work in print. It only works when it gets in you. Y'all see that? And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Well, now, if it's going to work in us, it's going to have to be in us. Hello? My heart can only produce what's in it. The ground can only grow what's been planted. So if I want more of God working, I got to get his word in me. And I sure don't need to fret and worry. I need to consider the sparrows and the lilies and how they grow. They neither sow nor reap. Sparrows don't yet, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Consider the sparrow, the lily of the field. Doesn't toil, yet Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He's talking about not worrying. Just believe, just trust. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. You know, if you think about that farmer planting those seeds, it's real simple. He puts them in the ground. He doesn't make them grow. He just puts them in the ground. The ground makes them grow. I heard it said this way one time, that we have spiritual organs just like we got natural organs. You ever notice that when you eat food, you don't sit there and spend about an hour and a half figuring out how it's all digested and where it's got to go and how it's broken down into all the different... Anybody ever do that? I need some of this to go over my left arm over here because my left arm is a little weak. I need to, okay, when I eat this, I need to break it down. I need some of the energy, some of those enzymes. I need all these proteins and everything. Break down. Okay, here's what I want you to do, body. Break it down. Okay, and send it over there. Send it. My leg's been a little weak lately, so I want to send it over to my legs. And you just eat. Isn't that right? You may take vitamins. I don't know what you do. But see, it's an amazing thing, like the ground. Spiritually speaking, you know, just like your body, if you just get it in your body will do the rest. If you just get it in the ground, the ground will do the rest. If you just get God's word in your spirit will do the rest. You don't have to fret. You don't have to worry about it. You got spiritual organs and intestines and lungs and everything else in there. If it'll just get in there, it'll take over. You don't have to make it work. You just have to ingest it. Not 500 things you have to do. Just eat the word, okay? Get the word in you. Because the Bible says it works in you that believe. And it's according to the power that's working in you. So believing is the key. That's what releases the power of God. All the DNA, all the productivity, everything that's possible for that food to do happens after you eat it. All that's in that seed, whatever the DNA is in that seed, whatever it can produce with that picture on that package, it'll happen when it gets in the ground. And you can rise night and day like that farmer and just sleep and just be happy, happy, happy. Happy, 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 as we say. You don't have to fret about it because, you know what? The Word works in me. And if I get it in me, it will work. If I ingest it and meditate on it, like David said, you know, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Because he's meditating on the Word. He's got the Word in him, and that Word's going to produce. You get it in you, it will produce. All we got to do is believe. That's all we've got to do. Woo! So, where he says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Notice in Amplified it says, now to him who by and in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. But it's according to what's working in us. Amen? I mean, faith is how you release the power of God. It's how you manifest his presence and power. Believing is the key. And you can never, I mean, these are simple truths that we all know, but I think it's the simple things we let slip. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. What are you going through? Well, what scripture promise are you standing on? What are you meditating on? What are you confessing? What promise did God give you concerning that you're believing for? And if you say, well, I don't really know. Well, nothing's going to happen. I mean, you can be saved and full of the Holy Ghost on your way to heaven and not have victory in an area that you're not believing in. Because this is a lifestyle. It's not a one-time deal. I'm saved, yes, according to what Jesus did, but my life is my responsibility. What I do with this thing that God gave me, salvation, what I do with this calling on my life, it's up to me to fulfill it. Now, I'm not alone. He'll help me, but I've got to pursue. I got to call. I got to cry out. I've got to say what he says and pray about it. I can't just leave it up to him, because if I left it up to him, I'd never got saved. You say, well, is he that cruel? No, he's not that cruel. He made it available for everybody, but he gave you a choice because he's that good. He is so good, he gave you the choice to accept him or not. He didn't make you get saved. He didn't make you accept him. He didn't make you praise him. You choose to do that, and that's why God loves it when you do it, because it's your own free will when you choose. But if you're waiting around God to make you do something, no, we're not serving an ogre with a stick. We're serving a loving God, hello, that wants us to enter in a relationship with him through faith, through calling on his name, through confessing his work, through believing him. Not someone that's just, we're a puppet on a string, and he's just moving us around, and he chooses to bless you and curse you and, you know, and help you and not help you. And no, he's not, you know, he's not a little angel, you know, with a, we kind of have that idea about God. We think God's random. God's not random. God does not do random. Okay? God's a God of order. He's a God of love. He's never going to take anybody to heaven kicking and screaming. The only people that go to heaven are those that call, those that want to go. Are you out there? And so everything else God has available is on the same basis. It's not any different. You know, because if it were that way, then God would just be playing favorites, no doubt about it. He would be a respecter of persons. And the Bible says he is no respecter of persons. if he just decided to heal one, not heal another, and bless one, not bless another, and help one, not help another. Well, you know, there are some random things that go on the earth because we live in a broken, fallen world. But what God does, he does specifically as we believe and trust him. That doesn't mean everybody's got money was blessed by God. Stay with me. That just means if you want to go to another level, it doesn't mean we're all going to be millionaires. But if you want to get out of the mess you're in, you need to trust him. You need to really petition him and trust him and say, God, I believe what your word says. I believe you're my shepherd and I shall not want. Now, Father, thank you for blessing me and helping me bless others. Because that's really the whole point, isn't it? Make a blessing out of me so I can bless others. Help me so I can help more people. Don't be selfish now. Listen to me closely. Don't be selfish because it sounds so pious and so holy. Lord, just meet my needs. That's all I'm asking. Just bless my four and no more. Now, see, we've heard that in church. I've heard it. I've heard it myself. You know, well, if I can just get beans on the table and roof on my head and clothes on my back, I'll just be happy. Well, okay. And then you live and you die and nobody got any help from you at all. And you didn't help anybody. You didn't help your neighbor. You didn't bless anybody else. You just got your needs met. And you lived for Jesus and you died. Never helped a soul. Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. That's not right, is it? That can't be right. See, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. If I never get any help, we're not going to all be millionaires, but we're all at certain different levels. I think wherever you are, start where you are. You can't go to second grade till you go to the first grade. And I understand there are some people that, you know, are gifted more than others. I understand that. There are some that got billions of dollars, but I'm not saying you're going to have that. But you ought to prosper where you are. I know when I was in India preaching the gospel in India, you know, I was getting them to believe God for a bicycle. So they'd go to another city, another town, and preach the gospel. And then some of them had a bicycle, they're believing for a motorcycle. Go a little further. You start where you are. Are you with me? I mean, some people say, well, you can't preach prosperity over in India. Yes, you can. You can tell them where they are. They can rise to another level. And as God blesses them there, they begin to go a little further. They can reach more people. They can help more people. Are you out there? That's the will of God. And there's no condemnation no matter where you are because we all start somewhere. So we don't compare ourselves among ourselves. We're unwise if we do that. But I'll tell you one thing. You're going to have to start believing where you are if you're going to go to the next level. We may all be at different levels, and I understand that. But we're never going to go to the next one until we believe, until we pray. I want to help people. If we're all blind, we're just going to be blind. Somebody's got to get blessed if we're going to bless others. Yeah, you know, people talk about prosperity, and I know we get a bad rap sometimes. That church down there, they believe in prosperity down there. Well, yes, we do believe in prosperity. That's how we do the food bank, with money. That's how we support missions, with money. Greenbacks, Yankee American dollars, cashola, moolah. That's not bad or evil. Money can be used for good. We've been using it for good for a long time around here. That's how we built buildings. That's how we support missions. That's how we started Hallelujah Night. That's how we started the food ministry. See, we have turned gold into souls and been greedy about it. I understand you can be lustful and greedy, but it's not money that's the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. So, we got to believe. Whatever is keeping you from believing, whatever is hindering you from standing on God's word, sometimes it's some of the things I just talked about. We'll start over-examining our motives, and we're thinking, oh, we're being lustful, we're being greedy, we shouldn't be greedy. Well, I don't think we ought to be greedy. I know that's the scripture, and we shouldn't do that. But sometimes we're not even thinking about helping anybody else under the guise of humility and piety. Oh, I could never ask anything for me. I couldn't pray for myself. I mean, I could pray for you, but I could never pray for myself. What, really? So you can't help anybody then, can you? Are you with me? I mean, you can help some to some degree. You can pray for others, so on and so forth. But wouldn't you like to help somebody? Wouldn't you like to get on your feet and be able to work in the food ministry or clean the church? Nobody's ever healed, you know what I'm saying? Or any number of things. I just mentioned those two things. The better off we are, the more we can do. You remember Peter's mother-in-law? Jesus had just cast devils out of a guy in the synagogue. It's in the Bible. And they were amazed at his authority. He spoke as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And it says he entered into Peter's mother-in-law house, the first pope, Peter's house. And his mother-in-law was there, the first pope. Had a mother-in-law. I'm just trying to figure that one out. How do you have a mother-in-law? Aren't you got to be married to have a mother-in-law? Okay. First pope had a wife. Okay. God bless Catholic Church. We're not against Catholics. I love the Catholics. But Peter had a wife. There's no other way you can have a mother-in-law unless you have a wife. And that's what the scripture says more than once about Peter. It said he had a mother-in-law. And they got along because it was in his house. That's good. So they got along just great. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Jesus walked in that house and his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, was laying on the bed sick, had a fever. And the Bible says he went over there, and one gospel says he rebuked the fever. Another gospel says he laid his hands on her, and the fever left her. And the next part of the verse says, and she got up and ministered to them. In other words, probably cooked food and started. Are you with me? Was she ministering to them while she had the fever? While she was laid on the bed? No. She needed to get healed so she could minister to them. Isn't that right? So a lot of times we're saying, oh, Lord, I couldn't pray for me. I just couldn't pray for me. Yeah, but see, we're keeping ourselves from helping others because we're going to be blind like everybody else, and if blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. Are you with me? So, you know, I don't know what your need is. It's different with everybody. I don't know what mountain's on your horizon, but you need to attack that thing tooth and nail, as we say, with the Word, and you need to believe God and put the power of God on that thing and begin to increase in that area. Hallelujah. So you can help others. Amen. Romans 1. Turn there real quick. Got a few more scriptures I want to get to. Oh, my. This helping anybody? Amen. I'm just talking about releasing the power of God. Believing is the key. That's the key. Listen, when I got saved, I wasn't what you'd call a great catch. I mean, God didn't search the world over and find somebody that was just overqualified and saved them when he saved me. Okay. And in fact, I wondered many times what God thought he was doing. When God called me to teach, I rehearsed before God all the reasons why I was the wrong candidate for this, okay? And he didn't listen to a thing I said. Because God doesn't really care. He can take anybody and use anybody that he wants. I mean, can you imagine? Here, I got kicked out of high school, okay? I had to talk to the chief of police when I got kicked out because I had an altercation with the principal after I got kicked out. And the chief of police knew me very well and told me. Johnny Hughes was the chief of police. Remember Johnny? I worked for his brother. And that's another story. But anyway, I had to talk to the chief of police, and he told me. And he said, Michael, you cannot drive up on that parking lot of the high school. The principal has come down and talked to us, you know, and told us about what went on, said you threatened his life and everything. And I was lost, you know. And he's told us about it, and he doesn't want you to come on the parking lot anymore. I'm going to have to lock you up if you drive up on that parking lot again. And I said, well, can I file on him because he threatened my life? He says, no, it doesn't work that way. So anyway, you know, I was lost and just did not know God and got kicked out of high school. And I was on the parking lot with making a lot of noise. And so here I am. I get saved later, 19 years old, you know, I get saved. I start going to church, and I was at Lakewood Church. Man, never forget it. I was 20, 1 year later, I was at Lakewood Church, May of 1976 is when it was. I was 20. I was sitting in a service. It was on a Monday night, and they had a guest minister preaching on the 12 spies. The 10 brought back the bad report and 2 the evil. I mean, 2 good and 10 bad. And, you know, a message is okay. I remember the message distinctly. I remember the person ministering and ministered to a lot of people up front. And during all that time, God, I had an open vision. Now, I wasn't really into open visions at that time. I'd just been saved 1 year. I wasn't even into crying yet, okay? I got over that pretty quick, as you will know. But I'd been saved 1 year, and, you know, I come out of a pretty wild background, drugs and jails and so on and so forth. And, you know, and you just... I'm sitting there just glad to be saved. I'm just happy to be saved. Are you kidding me? My goodness gracious, man. My whole aspirations were just going to heaven, man. And I told everybody about Jesus. I was glad to be saved and be a witness and so on. And God said, He showed me a church in my hometown that I recognized. And he showed me people, some people that I even recognized. A whole line of people going into this church, the front door. And a whole line of them coming out the back door. And they went in the front all smiling and happy and dressed up. And I'm so determined to be able to tell that without crying. I cannot do it. I've never been able to do it. I can't talk about me getting saved. I can't talk about being called to teach without crying. Anyway, I saw these people going in, and I recognized some of them, and I saw them going out the back all beat up and tore up, and man, my heart was just breaking. And I was just gritting my teeth and tearing up, you know, and all I heard was an inner voice. You know, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard an inner voice, and God said, I want you to do something about that. I never will forget. I said, God. And I'm sitting in a service now. We're in a service. Been, say, 1 year. I'm gritting my teeth because I don't want to cry in front of everybody, you know. I said, God, I can't do anything about that. No, I'm talking. I'm carrying on a conversation with God. I cannot do anything about that. He said, no, I want you to do something about it. I mean, he didn't even listen. Relentless. He's like the hound of heaven. He was on my trail, and he was barking, and he wouldn't shut up. He said, I want you to do something about that. And this is, I mean, it's going to sound like Duck Dynasty, but this is the way I talked back then. I said, you got the wrong cat, Jack. You got the wrong cat. I remember I said that to him. I said, no way. Nope. And I said it 2-3 times, you know. You got the wrong cat, Jack. You got the wrong cat. I mean, that's the way I talked. I was just, you know, I come out of a different lifestyle. God wouldn't listen to me, and he finally said, I am calling you to teach my word. He said teach, didn't say preach, said teach. And I broke, man, I just broke. And I finally got my composure together, and then this minister got through ministering, and I only heard this person one time in my life. One time. Never heard this person again, minister. I mean, I know who the person is, and in fact, they've gone on to be with the Lord now, but they got through ministering to a lot of people and had some words of knowledge, you know, and prayed for several people to be healed. And right before this person walked off the platform, stopped, turned back around and said, you know, God's done some wonderful things here tonight, but he's called one young man to teach his word, and stepped off the platform. It hit me again. No. You know, but thank God I listened to what he said. And God just picked me. I mean, he can pick anybody. He doesn't pick people because they're perfect. He doesn't pick people because they're qualified. Me? Qualified? Are you kidding? We got home and got to the apartment that we were living in at that time in Pasadena, Texas. And I walked in that apartment. Brenda went to bed. Brenda went to sleep in 5 minutes, and I got up and went back up the front, because she can sleep anywhere, anytime, just like that. I got up and went back in the front of the apartment, and I told God, I will do it. I remember telling him that. I said, I don't know what you're doing. I said, I don't have a high school education. I don't have any money. I was working as a laborer on a construction job. I said, but if you want to do this thing, I will believe you. I will believe your word. I mean, I couldn't get away from it. You're going to fight God? Yeah, it's not going to happen. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I remember saying this, in the name of Jesus, I'll go all over the world and I'll preach the gospel. I will teach your word all over the world. Any way, in any form you want me to do it. In Jesus' name. I was too embarrassed to tell anybody for days. I didn't even tell her. I didn't want to tell anybody. You know, because I just, not something I really wanted to do. I was just happy to be saved. I was rejoicing in my salvation. God wanted me to do a little more. And you know, it's just been a journey of faith. It's been a journey of believing and standing on God's word. You know, people think that I'm just highly educated, or they think I've gone through Bible school, or born with a silver spoon in my mouth. That's not the case. Not the case. There's nothing wrong with that. Thank God for college. Thank God for education. Thank God for money. If you have it, well, use it for the Lord. But God took me and just did all he did with me with nothing. There's no question that I can testify the glory of God, because if you knew me before, you know it was not me that got me where I am today. It had to be God. And it was just trusting him. And every step's been a step of faith. Every venture has been a venture of faith for me. I've had to believe, and you have to believe, and we all have to believe. Notice what it says here in Romans 1. Have you found it? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the good news. Gospel is evangelion, the Greek word. We get the word evangelist from that. Evangelist means good news bringer. Gospel means good news. So he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's not to everyone, but to everyone that believes. Y'all see that? So if you want to release the power of God of to salvation, everybody say salvation. Well, that's a good word, because that means more than just eternal life. When you think of salvation, really, it's deliverance. It's to be saved. Saved from terror. Saved from pain. Saved from sickness. Saved from poverty. Saved from depression. Saved from hell, yes. But it entails more than that. And Jesus proved that over and over, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the gospel wasn't just about going to heaven. The gospel was about healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils. And Paul did the same thing. And all through the book of Acts, we see Peter and James. We see these guys healing the sick and raising the dead. And John doing the same thing. Come on, the salvation is more than just heaven. Oh, that's the greatest part of it, no question. But my salvation is loaded with benefits and privileges. Absolutely loaded with them. And so if I'm in a crisis, I can call on someone. I'm not like the world who has no one to call on. If the devil throws his best shot in my house, I can get on my knees and pray and believe God. Hallelujah. And you can too. It's not saying you're not going to have challenges and you're not going to have needs that arise. It's saying that we have answers and we have hope and we have help when those things come. All we got to do is believe, and we can release the power of God. For the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the word of God, is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto healing, unto peace of mind, unto everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. So if I believe, I can release the power of God. Real quickly, 1 Thessalonians 2. Time's slipping away here. 1 Thessalonians 2. Just helping anybody. You know, all the promises of God are just waiting to be believed. Waiting to be believed. Do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? Have you put your faith in Him? That thing that you're worried about and fretting about, are you on your knees praying about and giving God glory that He's answered it and taken care of it? Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He does. Don't make prayer your last resort. Don't make faith and believe in God the last thing on the list. Make it the first thing. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. Paul speaking here, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Must be pretty important if he's thanking God without ceasing. Amen. Because when you received the word of God, I love that. He's thanking God without ceasing, that when they, the Thessalonians, received the word of God, which they heard from Paul, when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. I like that. This is not a charismatic doctrine. This is not prosperity doctrine. This is not word of faith doctrine, nor is it Baptist doctrine, Methodist doctrine, Catholic doctrine, positive confession doctrine. All the labels you can put on, name and claim it. Confess and possess, you know. People love to put labels on everything, but the bottom line is, if you're quoting Scripture, it's Scripture. Are you out there? Okay. Oh, born again. Oh, you Baptists, you're born again. Wait, thank God for Baptists. Hey, I'm all for what Baptists preach, but salvation, born again. Are you kidding me? I believe just like that, because that's Scripture, that's Bible. Born again is a Bible term. Confessing the Word is in the Bible. Jesus said it. Paul said it. Are you with Paul? James talked about it. So when we received the message that you heard, He was thanking God that when they received it, they didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it was in truth, the word of God. Notice this. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Where does the word work? In you that believe. In you that believe. If you believe, it'll work in you. If you don't, it won't. If you get it in you and you believe it, it'll work. But it doesn't work in the book, on the pages. No more than the seeds work in a bag. It works when you put it in the ground and believe it. So put the word in you and believe it, and it will work for you. Hallelujah. He does what he does according to the power that works in us. He's praying that we know the exceeding greatness of the power that is to us word who believe. And the gospel, the good news, is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. The Amplified says, in you that believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere to and trust in and rely on it. I'm ready for some superhuman power. How about you? So I'm going to have to trust it more than my problem. I'm going to have to trust the Bible more than the news on the television. Whew. I'm going to have to trust God's word more than my body. That's hurting if that's the case. I'm going to have to trust the word of God more than my checkbook that doesn't seem to balance right. Are you with me? I got to learn to trust God in his word. Because everything's subject to change except God's word. Everything's subject to change. It is changeable. Everything out here is changeable. In fact, the Bible says we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, the Bible. For the things which are seen are temporary, temporal, changing, and the things which are not seen are eternal. I can overrule and override and change everything I see and everything I feel with God's word. If I have his promise on it.